Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the top line of Daf Nun Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Tnoe Kvura, conditions in the burial of a corpse, Shema Afshrim Yitziras Rekev, that enable Rekev to form. Now, Rekev, we discussed in our previous shiur, we saw in the Mishnah that it is one of the reasons for a Nozir to lose the days of Nazirus that he had counted till that point, being one of the examples of Tumas Meis that cause the Nozir Ligaleach. Rekev has to do with the decomposed body turning to dust. That dust that is from the decomposed body, if you have the required amount to create tuma vis-a-vis the nazir will then lose his nazirus. And the shir was we saw was mulo tarvid rekev. And in our previous shir, we discussed what that translates into in, we'll say, practical terms. Now, we continue with the issue mentioned in our heading. What are the circumstances of burial that enable Rekev to form? The Gemara, Tonu Rabbonan, Ezu Meis Sheish Lo Rekev. What is the case or the example of a corpse that yields Rekev? Answer, Meis Shenikbar Orum Ba'oron Shel Shayish O Algabi Ritzpo Shel Avonim. A body that was put into a stone or marble coffin, and the body was buried naked, meaning no shrouds on it. Or the body was placed on a stone surface. The coffin had a stone floor to it. That is Zehu Meis Sheish Lo Rekev. That's the case of a body producing Rekev. As things will develop, you will see that we want pure body, so to speak, not decomposition mixed with other things. Nikbar b'ksuso, if a body was buried in a garment, in shrouds, in cloth, ba'oron shalates, in a wooden coffin, O al gabi ritzpo shelavanim, or on a floor made of bricks as opposed to stone. Zehu meis she'ein lo rekev. That's an example of a body that will decompose, but the dust that results will not have the status of rekev with all that that implies. Omar ula ein rekev elo habo min habosar umin hagidin umin hoatzomois. Rekev is that which develops from all three, flesh, sinews, and bone. In other words, all three have to be together in order for Rekev to form. And when we speak about Rekev, we're not translating it as decomposition, obviously. We're talking about Rekev in a halachic sense. That which, if you have the molo tarvin shir, that quantity of Rekev, the nazir will lose his nazirus. Esve Rava Ula. Ula just got finished saying that Rekev is formed when you have all three elements together, flesh, sinews, and bone. Well, what does this source say? Rekev habo min habosar tohor. Decomposed flesh, that does not constitute tumo. Ha min ha etzem tomei, viafagav deleko basar. this source would leave room to imply that if the rekev came from bone, decomposed bone, that would be a source of defilement, even though there is no flesh. The Gemara says, no, that's not the way to understand this. Eimo hochi. Read it or understand it as follows. Rekev habo min habosar tahor ad sheyesh etzem babosar. The rekev that comes from flesh is not a source of defilement until there is bone in the flesh. Question. Haleko gidim, but there are no sinews. All you said is that if you have bone with flesh, there will be rekev. What about the ula sinew requirement? The Gemara answers, there are sinews here, even though they weren't stated explicitly. You can't have bone with its attached flesh without the presence of gidim, of sinews. So when you speak about flesh together with bone, you're conveying the idea that there are sinews there as well. The topic that we're going to encounter now is featured on the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. Shnei Meisim Shekovron Zeh Rim Zeh Ave Galgalin. Two bodies that are buried together. They are Galgalin. Galgalin, without getting into the literal translation, for our purposes, Galgalin means a neutralizing factor. Neutralizing meaning preventing Rekev from forming. It just occurred to me now, not that there's any significance, but the word kovar is to bury, and it actually has the same letters to it as rekev. But as far as rekev being the automatic result of kovar, of burial, that we see is not so. You have all kinds of, we'll say, restrictions before which you can say rekev is rekev. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, Shnei Meisim Shekovrim Zeh Ayim Zeh, Ne'asu Galgalin Zeh Lozeh. Two bodies buried together, they actually cancel each other out from developing, from forming Rekev. Now, as far as the word Galgalin is concerned, let's take a look at the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Nasu Galgalin Zeh Lozeh. Naase kemi shenisarvu ze boze. It is as if the two bodies got mixed up with one another. The ein ze rekev gomor. That's not pure rekev. Galgalin klomar. The word galgalin implies ha megalgel ze loze. One rolls into the other. Venisarev ze imze got mixed up with one another. Shenisarvimo ksuso rekavon acher domi. And when you have the two bodies buried next to each other, it's as if they got mixed up. It's as if their clothing got mixed up, or other decomposition. Even if in this case the two bodies were buried naked in a marble coffin, hayol delo havi rekev kulo demei sechad. The reason it's galgalin is because it's not the decomposition of one singular body. Let's continue in the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Nosson, the Bachaz Agirsa Raboshia, Rekev Haba Mishnei Mesim Tomei. Well, this is a seeming direct refutation of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Rav Rava. No, this source that said that rekev that comes from two mesim is tomei. The case is as follows: shekovru ze b'fnei atzmo v'ze b'fnei atzmo v'hir kivu. Two bodies were buried separately. They decomposed, and all that was left after they decomposed individually was a half a shiur, half a quantity of rekev from each one. And the omdu amalol tarvid rekev, and together they formed the minimum shiur, the minimum amount for rekev. And for our purposes, since each one formed, we'll say, legitimate rekev, isolated body rekev, the joining together of the two half quantities enables the full quantity of rekev, of halachic rekev, to be established. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written, Mosai Shayach Lomar, this, under what circumstances is it possible to say, Desiru Shel Meis, that the hair of a corpse, Nase Loi Galgalim, that the hair works as a neutralizing factor. The Gemara, Omar Rabo Babarchano Om Rab Yochanan, Gaza Sairo V'Kovro Imo, One cut the hair of a deceased and took the cut hair and buried it together with the corpse. Nase loy galgalin. The hair has that neutralizing effect so that whatever decomposition that results will not be considered halachic rekev. Tanan hosom. Kol shebemeis tome. All parts of a body, all elements, all limbs of a body are tome, are a source of defilement. Chutz min hashinayim v'aser v'tziporin u'b'shas chiburon kulon tomein. The exceptions when we speak about parts of a body as being a source of defilement, this does not hold true for teeth, hair, and fingernails, toenails, when they are detached from the body. That's in contrast to a finger, a toe, different limbs that are detached are sources of tumah. But teeth, hair, and nails detached from a body are not a tomei. However, ubishas chiburon kulon tomeim. When they are attached to a body, the hair is considered part of the body. The fingernails are part of the body as well as the teeth. At this point, we begin a very long series. You'll see on the side, we have under our mivneh, our topic, our structural note, the diamonds will introduce she'elois, questions, binyan, rekev, uma nechshav galgalin. What is considered a galgalin? So notice, by taking a bird's eye view of the sukkah, looking ahead, you see all the way down, omid beis, we number up till 8 of these diamonds. 8 questions. The Gemara. Boi Chizkia. Sairo ha'omeid ligaleach. Tziporin ha'omeid ligzaz. Mai. Hair that is to be cut off. Let's just imagine someone with very long hair and they died without having taken the haircut. But the hair is obviously long enough that people would ordinarily cut it off. Or a fingernail that is long enough that people would cut it off. Cut off the extended fingernail. And they died that way. My. What do we say about those? Mi amrinon koloime ligzos kigozes domi. Do we say that which is destined to be cut off, or is to be cut off because of its current length, so it's considered as if it's detached? Now, and if you say it's considered as if it's detached, even though physically it's still connected when you bury the body with this overgrown fingernail or lengthy hair, the decomposition will not result in rekev because it's considered as if it's detached. And we saw before that if you bury a body with its detached hair, you have a galgalin. Oy dilma. Or maybe hashta miha ha mechuborin. Or maybe we should look at it that physically right now it's attached, so that as the body decomposes with the too long hair or the extended fingernails, it will nevertheless form rekev. The question has been asked. The Gemara responds by saying, why not resolve your question from that which was said above by Rabbo Bar Bar Chana? We have little arrows on the side of the Gemara text. You can align what you see here with what we saw above. So the Gemara asks, "V'nifshot le mi the Rabbo Bar Bar Chana? Why not conclude your question from an inference from that which he said? Taima mishum de gosas. We saw above that the hair that was cut off from a corpse and then buried together with the corpse, that is what makes gagalin, because it was cut off. Halo gosas. If it wasn't actually cut off, no, then it doesn't become gagalin. The Gemara responds, Hochi komar. What Rabbo Bar Bar Chana mentioned above is as follows. Gozas hareze galgalim. If the hair was actually cut off, it definitely creates galgalim. Lo gozas mi boyale. If it wasn't cut off, that remains a question when you have hair that was going to be cut off but wasn't yet cut off. So that from Rabbo Bar Bar Chana, we couldn't resolve that when that itself was something that he did not have a stand on. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, Rekev habo min ha'okev mahu. First we'll translate it, and then we'll look into the Tosfos. Rekev is the decomposition that comes from the okev, from the heel. The heel of most people has on it what we would call dead skin, and the term dead skin is very appropriate. We can say that when the person died, the skin on his heel didn't die with him. It was already dead beforehand, while the guy was still alive. Now, before going on in the Gemara, we glance in the wide lines of the Tosfos below. Rekev abom in the okev ma'ol lefishe ba'kevu shalodom yesh bo ovi basar shein bo chius. On the heels of people, there's a certain thickness of skin, thick layer of skin that has no life to it. And we want to know, does the din of rekev apply to that? So now we turn to the Gemara. Two sides of the question. Ki gamri rekev habo mikule mace. Avol de'osi min okev lo. Oy dilma lo ishna. Now I found this line difficult to translate. So in order to appreciate it, we look at the Tosfos. Habo mikule mace. That's decomposition that comes mikule mace. Tosfos says, kloimar mikol habosar shiesh bochius. It is that which comes from flesh that had life to it. But the skin on one's heel is not considered something that has chius, life to it. So it would not constitute rekev. In other words, if you have decomposition from the corpse's heel, it wouldn't be rekev. Oy dilma lo shnor, maybe we don't make any distinction. Toshma de Tony Rabnosin Raboshia, we saw this point mentioned above. Above we mentioned that the Bach had the Girsa of Rabboshia, and here you see it in full. He has the following source, says Rekev Habo Mishnei Mesim Tome. The decomposition that comes from two bodies, and we explained that as two bodies had decomposed separately, leaving just a chatzi, a half a tarvid. And by putting together the two half tarvids, you got the minimum shear of a malo tarvid. The Gemara goes on, but after we read a couple lines of Gemara, we'll then go back over this section with the Tosfos. So Rav Nosson has this teaching, namely, Rekev Habo Mishnei Mesim Tomei, as we explained. The Isaka Deita Habo Mina Okev Lo, if you're going to claim that decomposition that comes from the heel does not constitute Rekev, well, you have these two bodies that decomposed, and all that's left of each body is a Chatzi Tarvid, half quantity of Rekev. If the decomposition that comes from the heel is not considered halachic decomposition, well, zil hocha dilma derech akev kasi, v'hocha dilma derech akev kasi. When you look at each half tarvid, in the case of the shnei mesim, there may be in each half tarvid a little bit of heel rekev. Then you're dealing with the exact minimum shear. So if part of that rekev that you've assembled is heel rekev, you don't then have your minimum shear. We take a look now at the Tosfos before going on in the Gemara. Rekev habo mishnei meisim tome leil ukme rova kegon she'oimed al mlo tarvid shalonisha mishneim ki im lo tarvid. As we explained, the two bodies were buried separately, and all the decompositions that's left from the both of them is one mlo, one full tarvid. The minimum shear. V'isagadaitach habomin okev lo, if you're going to maintain the position that decomposition that comes from the heel doesn't constitute decomposition, klomar she'eno mitame, that it doesn't convey tumo, zil hocha dilmo derech okev ka'asi, dilmo klomar shemo yesh bo min ha'okev. There might be in this half tarvid of rekev that comes from the heel. The reason the Gemara uses the word dilma, which means maybe, is because you don't have something here of assuredness. The shemo min ha'okev ochlonosh v'zeh rekev nishar min shar haguf. Could be that whatever decomposition there was from the heel was consumed by osh. Osh is some type of insect. We can say it's consumed, it's no longer there, and the rekev that remains is not from the heel at all. So we're in the middle of asking our question. Rav Nosson Barovjia brought a source that would seem to indicate that the rekev that comes from the heel is considered rekev. Otherwise, in the case of the Shnei Mesim, you wouldn't be able to say that you have a minimum shiur, because part of the rekev there might very well have come from the heel. The Gemara continues. We add a gersa from the Bach, Heichi Domi. What are the circumstances behind our question? How did the decomposition take place? E de irkiv kule meis. If the entire body decomposed and it came, the decomposition came from the okev, that would be rekev. Now, this again is a little bit obscure. So, in order to appreciate this, we glance at the Tosfos. We have a little star where we left off in the Tosfos down below. Hechi domi klomar, hechi havi ba'ayon. What are the circumstances behind our question? Vadai ida arkiv kuli meis v'osi derech okev. Certainly, if the entire body decomposed and it came via the heel, hochi nami diesh larekev, the v'hochi mairi, ha'vitoni Rav Nosson. This is what Rav Nosson's source was describing. Shinirkav kol hameis. The nirkav gam ha'okev shiyeshbo din rekev, where the entire body decomposed, including the heel, that rekev is certainly rekev. That therefore is not our question. Ella, we continue with the Tosfos, who introduces for us the Gemara. Tosfos goes on. Ella ba'ayon, our question is heichod arkiv chadever ha'regel v'yosi derech ha'okev. A person died, but only one limb, namely his foot, decomposed. The ikolameimar lefi she'ein chius b'boser ha'okev mir laharkiv b'chiyai gavno lo gemiri rekev. One could say that since the foot has on it dead flesh, it's that dead flesh that hastened the decomposition of the foot faster than the rest of the body. And it could be that under those circumstances we don't have a tradition of rekev. So now we go back to the Gemara where we left off. We said heifi dummy. Let's read that line again. The added words heifi dummy ida arkiv kule meis v'kosi derech okev hachinami. The explanation we saw in the Tosis was the entire body decomposed together with the flesh around the foot. That is definitely rekev. Ela hocha, here our question involves kagon de irkiv chadever v'kosi derech okev mai. The only one limb that decomposed was the leg. And the leg had on it, on the heel, this dead flesh. And as Tosfos pointed out, it could be that it's that dead flesh that caused the hastening of the leg to decompose. And the tradition of rekev doesn't apply to a case like that. As far as the answer is concerned, teku, it remains unresolved. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, ubar b'mei isha, a pregnant woman dies. So she dies with a fetus inside of her. And as time goes on, there's decomposition. Havi gaglim o lo. Does that fetus constitute gaglim, like the case of two bodies that are buried together? So there are two sides of analyzing this question. Kevav yomamar ubo yerech imo, since there is a well-known statement in the Talmud that an ubar, a fetus, is like the mother's leg. It's like a limb of the mother. So it's not considered a separate entity. Hilkoch gufa hu velo avigagalin. It therefore is like the woman herself. It's part of the woman. And therefore, it's her body that's decomposing by itself, and there's no galgalim here. Oy doma. Or possibly kevan de sofa lotzeis mifresh parish mina. Since this particular limb, if you will, the fetus, is inevitably going to be separated from her, it's considered now as a separate entity. And if you say that, well, they're buried together, woman and fetus. Two bodies buried together, there would be no rekev. As the Gemara goes on, it builds up from each previous point. The intim to lomar, and as you'll look ahead on in the Gemara, you'll notice that we've used this dashed underlining simply to highlight the side of the argument that we're going to be continuing with. The intim to lomar ubar de sofo lotzeis mifresh parish mino. If you take that approach, that the ubar, since it's eventually going to be separated from her in its birth, so it's considered right now as a separate entity, and it would the ubar buried inside together with the deceased mother would be galgalim. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Once again, having taken the root that the ubar is considered a separate entity, the Gemara at the top of Amud Bey says, Shichva Zera b'mei isha mahu. Shichva Zera is the male seed, the semen that's deposited inside a woman, of course while the couple are alive, and the woman dies with Shichva Zera in her. How are we to view that? Mi amrinon kevan delo itzar, since no vlad has been formed, no fetus has been formed as of yet, and she died. He gufa domi. It's considered part of her body. Oidilma, or possibly kivin de me alma ka'asilo. It comes from an outside source. It's not the shichva zera came from the man, not from within her body, and therefore it would be considered a separate entity. There's no answer that's given to this. But the Gemara goes on with a new question. Boy, Rav Papa, Pirsha Mahu. Pirsha is waste that's in a person. And a person in this died with waste inside. Is that Galgalim? Kevon delo mekaimo bedelo ochlo chiyusahu. Since a person cannot live without food, the food represents the basis of their life, so it's part of them, including whatever results from the food, the pirsha. Oidilma ha nami me'alma osi. Or do we say the origin of the food is from outside, so it's considered, it would be considered galgalim as being an extraneous item buried with the person. Boy, Ravacha Bre Duravika Erlo Mahu. As far as what is Erlo, there are different approaches. The translation without any other background knowledge would lead you to think skin. There is, however, another approach that you can see in the Mefarshim. If you notice the Tosfos Erlo Mahu Shiyase Gaglin, Kicha V'Niu Mahu Shiyase Gaglin. Oro is that which one spits up. Mucus or phlegm, what is its status when a person dies having phlegm inside of them? Boy Ravuna Bar Manoach, Kicho V'Nio Mahu. These are also forms of mucusy substances. The Rashi previously said on Oro is saliva that accumulates in a person's mouth without his attempting to do so. Without any effort, it's accumulated saliva. So that would be the Oro, and the Kicho V'Nio would be the phlegm and mucus. What is their status? Are they considered part of the body or galgalim? Omar le Rav Shmuel Barachol Rav Papa. V'i salka daitach kol hani dekoma avi galgalin. If you're going to say all of these things, the phlegm, the mucus, the waste, hair that's ome deligzos, the saliva. We're describing a normal, regular human being. and that means that everyone that dies, they have these things in them. You're never going to have rekev. So rekev de mitamehechi mishkakas law. Where would you ever have a case of rekev if all of these things would be considered galgalim? The Gemara answers the following is a case where you would be able to consider all of these things galgalim and still form rekev. The ashke me dekolim, the sachya nosha, the sholkoi v'me teveria. A person had drunk before his, prior to his death, he drank me dekolim. Me dekolim is explained as water that comes from a spring. You can see this explanation in the Tosfos. Water that comes from a spring that's located between two palm trees. That has a laxative property to it, and therefore all the perish would have been removed from the body because of this may the column drink. And sachya nosha is a depilatory, so if the body was smeared with nosha before its burial, so there would be no hair left on it, and Sholkoi v'mei teveria. Sholko is with boiling, using mei teveria. Mei teveria would be the hot springs of teveria. So if the body was placed in the hot springs of teveria, Rashi says v'hufshet oro, the yotze kicho v'nio. The result would be the skin falling off. You'd be able to remove the skin, and all mucus and phlegm would exit as well. So, by exposing the person to a mei dekolim, nosha, and the mei teveria, you will eliminate all of these elements that we were asking about above, as do they constitute galgalim or not. For a case of, let's say, sure assuredness, exposing the body to these elements would then make it clear that what you have as a result of the decomposition is rekev. Omar Abaye, naktinon meis shetochnoi ein lo rekev. Naktina means we have a tradition that a corpse that was ground up, as unpleasant and gory as this sounds, these are actual, these are stories that one hears from time to time of people falling into industrial grinders of all kinds. And here you have a body that's been ground up, so the particles, what the Mefarshim call afroris detchina, the particles that result from the ground, from the grinding, those particles do not constitute rekev. Ibayaloho, the question is raised, tochano v'chozer v'hirkiv mahu. What about after a body was ground up, they left that material to decompose, to turn into dust? Does that become rekev? So from the fact that Gemara is asking this question, you understand that Abaye's point of meis shetochno ein lo rekev, that's a case we're not talking about decomposition, we're simply talking about that which results after the body is ground up. So that is not rekev. However, what happens when all that, when that which resulted from the grinding is left to decay? Midi hu taimo elo deika boser vegine vatsamos veika, is rekev that which comes from flesh, sinews, and bones? And well, in this mass of ground up body, there are those elements. Odilma kibriyoso bo'ino veleka, or when we speak about rekev being formed, that's only when you had a body that didn't undergo any change from when it was, while it was alive, other than the fact that the soul departed from it, but the body decomposes in the same state as it was when he was alive, which is not the case if the body is ground up before it decomposes. Teku, so this remains unresolved. Toni Ula Bar Hanina. Ula teaches the following source, Meis Shechoser, a body, a corpse, that is missing a limb, is missing something. Ein loy rekev, velo tfusa, velo shchunas kforos. There are three halachs that are taught over here. For our purposes, we really need to emphasize only the din of rekev, the halacha of decomposition. But there are two more points that are mentioned. A body that has been buried, but it is missing something from it. It's missing a limb. So the decomposition that results will not be rekev. Tfusa is the halacha concerning the dirt that surrounds a body. If you, let us say, have to move a body for some reason, the dirt that's immediately adjacent to the body, 3 fingers thickness of dirt must be removed with it. However, if you have a body that was buried choser, so then that halacha doesn't apply. Shchunas kvoros has to do with a situation where you find 3 bodies between 4 and 8 amas apart from one another. The Gemara in Bava Basra explains that in a situation that you found 3 bodies, we should point out also that this is a Gemara mentioned later here in our Masechta. You have to do a search in the vicinity, without getting into details, to establish that whether or not this place is a cemetery. So what we're saying now is that if you don't have 3 complete bodies, but you may have 2 complete bodies and 1 partial body, where the 3rd body is missing something, then this halacha of shchunas kvoros does not apply. The Gemara continues, Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source that really requires some background explanation. And the background has to do with the issue of a kezias bosar, an olive quantity of flesh that came from an amputated limb, from a live person called Aver Minachai. Does a kezias bosar of Aver Minachai have the same status as a kezias bosar that separates from a limb that came from a dead person? So a kezias bosar, an olive quantity of flesh that comes from a limb that had been removed from a dead person, so that creates tumah. That's tumas oihel, the tumah of death overshadowing. What about the kezias bosar, an olive quantity of flesh that became separated from an amputated limb, from a live person? So in attempting to conclude the kezias bosar min Aver Minachai from the kezias bosar that separated from an Aver Minameis, the discussion says, lo, you can't conclude one from the other. Imamris b'meis, if you say that the olive quantity of flesh that got separated from the limb coming from a dead person, that's, we'll say, more severe. That certainly will have tumas oil with it. Sheish lo rov, a dead body has halachas concerning rov of the structure, rov of the skeletal structure, or rov of the number of bones. We said in a previous year there were 248 limbs, so 125 would constitute the majority. And also verova, rova is a quantity, a measure of bones. O malo tarvid rekev, or that in the case of a mace, you have that quantity of decomposition. Tomar b'chai, could you say the same stringency should apply to a kezias bosar that comes from Aver Minachai? Shein lo lo rekev, velo rova, velo malo tarvid rekev. You don't have those elements. You're dealing with a living person, so you don't have issues of skeletal structure or bone quantities or malo tarvid rekev. Well, hechi domi. We said that in the case of a living person, so there's no rekev. What are you talking about? Well, the arkiv chad aver. Imagine a living person that had one of his limbs started to decompose. So that does not create rekev. The kavose, the parallel case, gabi meis, by the dead, afilu chad aver ika rekev. Because we have a source in which we're trying to, we'll say, contrast one with the other, and we're saying that the case of the living cannot be compared to the case of the dead. And in the case of the living, we're talking about a person that's alive and one limb decomposes. In the case of the dead, the equivalent would be one limb decomposed. And we're saying here that in that case, afilu chadever iko rekev, so certainly if you have an entire body that's missing a little bit, that certainly should, yes, produce rekev. The Gemara rejects the logic. It rejects this and says, mi kotoni, and we're following the gears of Rashi, does it say, ha dekavose b'meis, that there must be a parallel to the dead? In other words, whatever case you say, that there is no rekev by the live, there is rekev by the dead. Who says we have to parallel the cases literally? Rather, ho komash malon, this source, which is arguing you cannot determine laws of the living, the kezias bosar minachai, from Aver Minachai, from the laws of the dead, what its intent is to say as follows, shum meis, yesh lo rekev, that means within the realm of the dead. there is rekev, but that's provided he's buried complete. Not the body's not missing anything. Shumchai elo rekev. A living person does not produce rekev, and that is in a case where a limb was severed, was amputated from the body, and it decomposed. That would not produce rekev. But the cases, the specific cases, are not parallel. All that we're saying is that in the realm of death, there is rekev. In the realm of the living, there is no rekev. Boi Rava, Hirkiv, Kishu Chai, V'chozar Umeis Mahu. This case involves someone, while alive, a limb started to decompose on his body, and then he died, and the rest of him decomposed. What is the din? Ki Gemiri Rekev, De'irkiv Kishu Meis. When we have the Rekev tradition, is that so only if all of the decomposition takes place after death? Odilma hashta mia ha'mayis, or right now the person is dead. So even though the decomposition started while he was still alive, right now he is dead. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to resolve that from the following. This is a quote from the source that we made reference to above in the case of trying to determine Kezias min Aver min Achai from Kezias min Aver min Ameis. And in that discussion it said, Lo, Imamers b'meis sheesh lo rov v'rova lo tarvid rekev tomar v'chai v'chulei. We said you can't determine the Kezias from Aver min Achai from the case of the mace, and we can now infer Taimo mishum chai. There, it's because the rekev was from someone that was still alive. Ha mace yeshlo rekev. But if that very person that had the decomposing limb then died, there would be rekev. So this would be like the Bay's possibility that we saw just three lines above, the Odil Mahashtim Yohomais. The Gemara rejects this. Mikotoni ha mace. Does the source say that which we dashed on the line just before, it was not part of the source? The source didn't say that the person that had been alive with a withering limb, that when he died, there would be rekev. That's not stated. Ha kamash malon. What the source was saying was the shum meis yesh lo rekev, shum chai ein lo rekev. All the source was saying that is that within the realm of the dead there is rekev, and within the realm of the living there is no rekev. Not leaving room to infer that had that person that was living then died and total composition resulted, there would be rekev. That we can't conclude. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and this continues till the Gemara on the upper quarter of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The reason that this is in brackets is explained in a note on the side. Sograim elu einom l'shem dilug. These brackets do not represent a section to skip in any initial reading. Elo l'samein, the reason we have brackets is to highlight, to demarcate, the keta ze eino shach l'sugis rekev. What we're about to learn is not relevant to the sugya of rekev per se, but is discussed here because we've been mentioning the cases of dead people that had missing limbs, and you'll see a parallel here. We glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, nemola shechasara, a nemola often translated as an ant, a very small creature that is quite obviously forbidden to eat. We should point out, by the way, that a dead ant does not constitute a source of tumah per se. There is a realm of shrutzim that generate tumah. There's a much larger realm of creatures. Shrutzim are generally associated with creatures that are low-legged, that crawl along on the ground. The Torah points out that there are eight shrutzim that, when dead, they communicate tumah. However, as far as the laws of eating of kashrus are concerned, you'll find that that covers a much vaster area of creatures beyond those that communicate tumah. The reason we're mentioning this is it will come up in passing in the course of the sugya. So we're going to discuss an ant that's missing, let's say it's missing a leg. Ha'im yesh adayin alel din berya. Does the status of berya apply to it? Ha'im odom mischayev al achilas nemola mishum shu dover shalem. We speak about a person being forbidden in eating an ant, even though you're dealing with something that's much smaller than the standard, let's say, olive quantity of forbidden food items. It's much, much smaller. However, it's a berya. Berya, if you have a complete ant, so it's considered a complete organism. And the Mishnah says in Maseches Makis that one who eats a complete ant is chayev lashing, even though it doesn't have, as we said, a kezias. What happens if that ant is missing a leg? Is that still considered complete? Can it continue living missing a leg? Yes. Is it absolutely complete? No. So we're asking, regarding this case, is he chayev lashes for eating an ant with a missing leg? So is a person chayev for this? Is he considered a violator of eating ants mishum shu dover shalem? O mishum shu dover shiroi lichyos? Is the offense because you're eating something complete, objectively complete, or because you're eating something that, had you not eaten it, it could have continued living? V'afilu chosra yuchala lichos. Even if it's missing something, it could it will be able to continue living. So now our Gemara, once again, it's working with that assumption that we know that eating a complete ant is a violation and would result in lashings. Boi Rava, Nimola Shechosra Mahu, an ant that's missing a limb. What is the din regarding the laws of eating, kashrus, and of course the with the resultant penalty punishment of lashings? Two possibilities. Shiura gemirin la v'ha chaser. Here it's very hard to translate the words. And every time you see in Rishonim, they use the word klomar. Klomar, as you can see in the Tosfos at the bottom, it means that the explanation is not in accordance with the literal translation. So here we have an example of that. By saying shiura gemirin, we're saying that the gemirin is the oral tradition says that only if it's absolutely complete, not if it's missing. Oi bria gemiri la voika. Or does the halacha that prohibits the eating of ants state that if you ate something that is able to live, bria, like brios, creatures that could live, then you will be in violation? And in this case, the nemola that's chasara, that a nemola whose leg was cut off, is something that could live anyway. And by eating it, you would be chayev. You would be guilty of receiving lashes. The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Beis Omer Aleph. Omar Rav Yehuda mi Discarta, Rav Yehuda from the town of Discarta. Toshma. He says, let's try to conclude it from the following. We have a Tanaic source, and it quotes two psukim, but each pasuk only in one word, and the topic has to do with shrutzim. We mentioned before, shrutzim are not only prohibited to eat, but they can communicate tumah. There are eight of them in the Torah. The psukim are cited in the Tosfos. You can see them there. One pasuk that's cited is Asher Yipol Mehem El Tocho, and another pasuk is Asher Yiga Bohem Bemoisam. So our Gemara says Toshma Bohem Yocho Bekulon. When the Torah speaks about someone touching a dead sheretz and becoming Tomei, does he have to touch the entire thing? Tamud Lomar Mehem. No, even if it's part of it. The word mayhem means from it, not the whole thing. E mayhem yocho mitzasan. If the Torah says mayhem, does that mean even a part is enough to communicate tuma? Talmud lomar bohem. No, it has to be complete. Well, how do you resolve these two psukim? One says that part is enough, and the other says the entire thing must be there. Ha ketzat. So the resolution is as follows. You have to be in contact with a part that's like a whole. That's a little obscure. We continue. When we speak about the shi'ur, the quantity of a sheretz, that's mitama, it has to be the size of an adosha. That means a piece of sheretz. A piece of flesh removed from a sheretz, that is bechadosha, that's an adosha in size. Adosha often is translated as a lentil, whatever, for our purposes it represents a particular quantity, like an olive quantity, a date quantity. Here we measure things in terms of an adosha quantity. And why was adosha chosen as the shiur? Shekein hachomet tchilas briyoso bechadosha. The chomet, which is one of the eight shrutzim enumerated by the Torah, when it begins forming, when it starts to appear as alive, it is an adosha in size. So, what do we see from this? Shma mina shi'ura gemiri la. From here, we see that what the Torah is interested is in a shi'ura. What is shira? So we saw before that shira means the creature when it is complete. And how do you see that over here? Because reference was made to that this adosha quantity is derived from the chomet, that its initial development, its initial, let's say, life is at the point that it is an adosha. And that adosha is together with its feet and with its antenna and whatever else is made up of that particular creature called the chomet. So from here we conclude, like the Gemara says, that the in describing creatures and the laws that apply to them, you need to have a complete creature. The Gemara rejects this conclusion. Omar Rav Shmaya. Ki bo'inon shi'ura. When is it that we're insistent on wholeness, on completeness? Debedalo havyu kadosha lo mitame. And if it's lacking that quantity, it won't communicate tuma. Delo nafla bo nishama. That's when you're dealing with something that did not yet have life to it. That was the case of the chomet. The chomet, that creature featured in the source above, had no life to it before it reached the size of an adosha, which, in fact, at that point, it had all of its limbs. It was complete. But it had not experienced life. So therefore, we're concerned with completeness. Avol nafla ba nishama. But in a case where something had life to it, like the case of our ant, and within the realm of halachas that concern eating, lo tiboyaloch, I don't have that insistence on it being complete in order to be a violation of the laws of eating. Now, let's take a look at the Tosfos, but just part of it. There's a star that we have, just a couple lines up from here in the Tosfos, in the narrow lines. The Tosfos says, V'dochi, and then the Gemara rejects, as we indicated, the attempted proof that Rav Yehuda tried to bring from the source. Amar of Hoshaya, Ki Boin and Shur B'chadosha, when is it that we require that, the completeness? Hecha delo noflo bein neshama, where it had not been alive prior to that. Kigol chomet. Shim nifchas me'at tchila, if it had not reached an adosha in size at its beginning, oz vaday ein lanu lachshiva b'riya b'pachos, then we certainly would not have considered it a complete entity less than the adosha. Hayol lo'ilon lo'yipol bo nishmas chayim b'pachos mikain. It won't become alive less than an adosha. It begins to show signs of life only when it reached that lentil size. Avol, hecha denofla lei, but where you have a situation where there was life to the creature, kagonimolo, chaya, well, like a living ant, chashuvo hi, ki af ki tzeitz raglo, it has significance even with its feet cut off. Omishum, Dovor she dovor mimena yichola adayin lichios harbe, either because of significance or because of it has the power to continue living. Shein chayat liyin bedovor shekotzat, its life isn't dependent on its leg. So if missing a leg, it could continue living. So as a result, you can see that the laws that apply to the chomet, which it seems to me are laws that have to do with tumas shrutzim. So that's governed by one set of standards. And the laws of eating a beria, that's governed by a different standard. And hence you see this distinction. So at the conclusion of the Gemara, we're left with the distinct possibility that eating an ant that's missing a leg, being that it could continue living, would constitute a violation resulting in lashing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.